The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. Jesus, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people. He spoke to them in parables, and this is what he said. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast." Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And he said to his servants, "The feast is ready, but those who are invited will not come. Go out, therefore, onto the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find." So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all they found, good and bad alike. And the hall was filled with guests. This is the good news from the Lord. God has always had a very hard time giving away God. No one wants it. We'd rather have religion and laws and commandments and obligations and duties. I'm sure you all came here out of duty. If you came here out of duty, it's a waste of time. It really is. Because you came unhappy and you're going to leave unhappy. It's supposed to be a wedding feast. Do you know how many times, and I'm going to list several of them for you, in the four Gospels and the New Testament, eternal life is described as a banquet, a feast, a party, a wedding banquet in particular, a great banquet, as this one today, as the marriage feast of the Lamb? There's 15 different direct allusions to eternal life being a great big party. Do you know how many parables there are about eternal life being a courtroom scene or a judgment scene? One. Matthew 25. And that's good. We need Matthew 25 because it makes it very clear what the ultimate issue really is. And it's about how you care for the poor. Jesus is absolutely clear about who are the sheep and who are the goats. And that's what we're going to be judged on. But it struck such fear in our hearts that one Matthew 25 passage overrides all the others. Now the first reading from Isaiah, this is the beginnings of the theme of universalism. That whatever God is doing, he's doing for everybody. If you can go back and read it after you go home, or even while you're still here at Mass, open up Isaiah 25. He says, this will be for all peoples. He will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. He will wipe away the tears from every face. He doesn't say the face of Catholics, right? Or of Americans. He says every face. We just were hoping it was for us, weren't we, huh? Well, Isaiah starts this theme of universalism, but we never liked it. The Jews didn't like it, and the Catholics didn't like it, and the Protestants liked it even less. We all divided into little groups whereby we could be the saved ones. And we forgot this gospel of Jesus sending out to the highways and the byways, inviting everybody who's willing to come. It's that simple. And then he goes out of his way to mention good and bad alike. Well, we don't like that either. No, we want just the good people to be there. Assuming, of course, we're the good people. Did you ever see the irony of that? Of course, we're the ones that God likes. Don't you realize that every religion thinks that? We're the ones that God likes. And with that smug certitude, we actually end up gathering at the party, something that very often isn't much like a party. I don't want to offend anybody, but only half of you even sing. Half of you don't even pick up your books. I'm not trying to be cruel. Let's just be honest that most of us aren't that excited to be here. This is not a party. This is, you know, at least the evangelicals raise their hands and the Pentecostals speak in tongues and some others dance in the aisles. And of course, we make fun of them because we're real serious about our religion. Brothers and sisters, they're closer to the party than we are. We're not sure it is a party. What most of us believe is it's a giant courtroom scene. Good guys win, bad guys lose, and almost everybody's a bad guy except us. Brothers and sisters, that won't work. That's not going to save the world. First of all, it gives no joy to the world, gives no hope to the world. It tells people they're on the right side when sometimes they're very, very unloving people who don't care about the poor at all. Who just want to reserve health care for us nice folks. But as many other people as we can take it away from, we're quite ready to do. And the statistics prove that Christians are no better than anybody else. In fact, very often, I'm sorry to say it, they're worse. They're worse. So you wonder sometimes why we're reading these Gospels Sunday after Sunday. And I guess you just put up with what we say. And I know I'm not saying it very well, but let's close shop and stop listening to this stuff if we really aren't going to base our life on it. Do we want to be a part of the wedding feast of the Lamb, to which all are invited, and the only people who don't get in on the party are those who don't want to come? So I guess we have to ask ourselves, do we want to come?